It's good to see everybody this morning. Hope you've had a good week. Have lots of visitors today. We're delighted to have y'all with us. Hope you'll stick around a little bit after the services and let us get a chance to know you a little bit better. But it's just really fine to have you here. Appreciate your being here. And great to have everybody who's always here. It's just really, it's a great time to be able to get together and to worship God and to enjoy the fellowship. His plan is great when we can do it in His way. And so it's just, it makes a nice day. This morning's lesson is going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10, if you want to be turning over there. This is a two-parter, by the way. I did an executive decision. This really is a 45-minute lesson. And while I can do that at gospel meetings, because that's what they expect, they're paying you to come and speak for longer, I've learned through the years that anywhere I've attended, I've never really enjoyed a good 45-minute lesson. And so I'll be dividing this into two. I'll be doing 22 minutes this morning and this evening as well. So there won't be quite as many scriptural references this morning, and that's by design because of the direction we're going. But I don't want you to think that we're going to be ignoring the scriptures today, because we're not. It's just kind of the way this particular lesson falls. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10, Solomon, through inspiration, says, "Do not say, 'Why were the old days better than these?' For it's not wise to ask such questions." You know, we grow up hearing our parents talking about the good old days, and then as we get older, we start talking about the good old days, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying memories from the past. And we're going to talk about some of those memories in the form of milestones this morning, but I don't want to make it look like we're thinking that somehow the past was better and that all the good is taken out of life, because we've got lots to look forward to. We do have challenges, and we're living in somewhat of a challenging time right now. But we want to realize that there are a lot of good things in life. And so this morning I wanted to talk about milestones. And you'll remember most of them. The older you are, the more you will have in mind some of these milestones, and the younger you are, you'll some of them will be fresher on your mind, and some of them you just haven't gone through yet. But I guess my first milestone that I can really remember was when I learned to tie my shoes. And you might think, well, that's not that big of a deal, but at 19 years old it was. Actually, it was earlier than that. I can remember my mom telling me, "You have got to learn to tie your shoes before you can go into kindergarten." And I thought that was a rule. I thought there was going to be some kind of a test at kindergarten, and I really thought I couldn't go to school. She was just telling me, you got to learn how to be a big boy before you go up to school, and I thought it was a requirement. So anyway, I learned to tie my shoes, and that was a milestone. Kindergarten, first day of school, was a milestone. I still remember talking to one of our young men. He was so looking forward to kindergarten, and he was talking about it, and he came back the next week, and I asked him how it was, and well, he was ready for school to be done with and to go to work with his dad. And so I thought, well, I can kind of remember that as well. But we have that milestone, and then you have every grade after that when you're little. First grade this year, then second, and then you finally get to junior high, and you remember the trepidation you had getting into that with some of the bigger kids, and then you got to high school. The next really big milestone for me, I guess, was getting my driver's license. And that was an incredible thing, the freedom that I all of a sudden had to run into other vehicles without an adult in the car. But it was just it was a neat time. And then graduation. And you know how you are when you're a kid. You're just kind of straining at the leash for every milestone. I can remember wanting to learn how to ride a bike so bad, and we didn't have a small bike, but my mom had a bike. And I can remember getting on that and taking a few pedals and falling down, and I would punish the bike for punishing me. I would throw that bike to the ground, and then I'd get back on it once we had an understanding and finally learned how to ride a bike. And what a neat thing that was. I see some of y'all riding your bikes, and there's just something about that. And then you finally get out of high school. Graduation day is there, and it's gone, and you either move out to your new job or you go off to college, whatever it is. And then for many, there's marriage. And that milestone is such an exciting time. And so often, shortly after that, the first child comes along, and you remember the miracle of life, that holding that little one. And you men will especially remember just being sure you're going to break that child when you hold it. And then it's just one thing after another after that. Their first words. And the first time that they walk, and all these things, they're just really special to us. And then they start going through the very things that we have memories of, the first day of school and on and on and on. All these milestones we remember, and again, not from a perspective of asking why the old days were better, because we realize that it isn't wise to ask such questions. We erase a lot of the bad things and just remember the good, and sometimes people will live in the past because of that, instead of really making something of where they are right now. But one thing that these type of milestones all have in common is that they are typically very much anticipated, and they are received with great joy. When I finally got several pedals in a row going on that bicycle, and I realized I was actually riding and I wasn't going to fall, there was so much joy there. But there are other milestones that we go through, and that as we look back on time, we realize we went through them, but we didn't recognize them at the time. And some of these milestones are more, they're nostalgic, but they can cause you to be depressed if you're not careful about it. Now, that's not the purpose of this either. But think about those times. I remember one of the few joys I had in worship, because I was a crummy kid, was being able to swing my legs in the pews. And I can remember when my legs got too long to swing in the pews, and that was really kind of a crummy deal. And I can remember backing up so I could get my legs to swing, but then it kind of cuts off that angle there, and it doesn't work. And so that was a milestone. I can remember for my own kids, there was a last time that I held each one of them. There was a last tea party with the girls, last game of catch with AJ, last time I shot hoops with Charisse, last time I got to watch Rebecca run a race. And there are all these milestones. When you're growing up, there's that last birthday party that you actually looked forward to having and going to. There's that last time you got to go out and play with your best friend as a kid. And as we get older still, there's that last conversation that we had with our grandparents. That last good talk we had with mom or dad. The last time when our kids were at home, where we actually got to really just kind of enjoy a day. And when you look back on those milestones, they're true milestones, but you don't recognize them when they happen typically. And it is very often something that just kind of tugs at our heart when we think about these things, because we realize that if we'd have known that was the last time, we would have really savored it. But typically, it's the exact opposite, is it not? The last time you hold your child is not, boy, we better enjoy this, this is the last time. It's, you're too big to hold. Yeah, you know, or read me a book, Daddy. Nah, I don't have time. Last time they ask you to read that, whatever it is. And you'll look back on that and you'll want those times back. and you'll wish you could relive those and kind of get an imprint in your mind about how special that occasion was. But once they're gone, they're gone. But again, these are milestones as well. Those are important, and I think they make up a great part of the joy of life and the fabric of life it's the essence of life. It's what makes life enjoyable and bittersweet but also it makes us hopefully determined to not repeat the mistakes of the past, but also to be perhaps a little bit more thankful for what we have. And so milestones are important. Once they've passed, they're truly gone. But this next set of milestones I want to talk to you about is even more significant, way more significant. And it's these milestones that if we handle them correctly, we're going to have an eternity that is beyond anything that we could imagine. And if we handle them incorrectly, we will have an eternity that's beyond anything that we could imagine. And so, think about that. The first time that you heard the gospel message that it really took, I was 13 years old when I became a Christian. I didn't remember the date until a few years ago, and my brother told me it was September the 16th of 1973. He remembers it because we were baptized on the same day. We didn't plan it that way. I can remember that Saturday just telling my mom, you know, I think I probably need to become a Christian. Mom saying, yeah, I think you probably do. and there were some reasons for that. But when I got up to go down the aisle, my brother was with me. And he was a couple years older than me, so he remembers the day, September 16th, 1973. And as I say, I remember that milestone really well because I can remember recognizing the fact I had sin in my life, and it needed to be taken care of. I had a terrible comedy record, Cheech and Chong. Some of y'all will remember that. And there's nothing admirable about having, because I can remember taking that out into the garage and chopping that up with a hammer and a chisel. I can remember some repentance at that time, is my point. But it was an important milestone. Made a lot of mistakes after that, by the way. Probably starting that week. and when I say mistakes, I mean sinful mistakes. But I can remember that first. In Matthew chapter 24, excuse me, let's back up to Philippians, or go ahead to Philippians just for a moment. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul is writing to the Christians at Philippi, and he's talking to the people that apparently he studied with and helped to convert. And he says to them in Philippians 1 and verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And you think about that milestone of their partnership with the Apostle Paul in the gospel. They heard the good news and they believed it. And based upon that belief, they became Christians. They repented of their sins. They confessed their belief that Jesus was Lord. They acknowledged He was the Son of God. And they had their sins washed away. And he talks about that partnership they had with Him in the gospel from the very first day. That's an incredible milestone. Do you remember what it was like to become a Christian? Maybe you were, everybody's got a little bit different memory of going into it. Mine was more of an understanding pretty quick of, man, I'm really not that good of a person. I better not be relying on my own merit. I better become a Christian. I got sin in my life. My brother, on the other hand, had wanted to become a Christian when he was like 6 years old. And my parents said, we don't think you know what you're doing. And so he waited and waited and waited. And so he had that agony of each invitation song and just, oh, going through it, you'll be different. Every person's different. But when you come to the point where you make up your mind, it's time to become a Christian, and not because my friend is becoming a Christian or because Mama wants me to become a Christian, but because it's time for me to become a Christian, not because somebody has shamed you into it, but because nobody could stop you from becoming a Christian that day. If that's the way it was, then you remember what that was like. And you remember going down into the water with sin, and you remember coming up, and you're clean. And there is a feeling of exhilaration with that milestone that will never leave you if you're a decent person. If you are not, your heart will harden, and that will go away. But if you're a decent person and you appreciate what God has done for you, that is a milestone that will always mean something to you. When we talk about having a newborn and the milestone of that, the new birth is the greatest milestone. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death. That's the burial, is it not? In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And that milestone of the new life is just incredible. And it's something we can continually enjoy. One of the things I love about being a Christian is the ability to be able to go back to God and just confessing, I have messed up again. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. And the cleanliness that you have again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the only way you can be in Christ is to be baptized into Christ, and the only type of a baptism that counts is a believer's baptism based upon somebody who has repented and believed. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old's gone. The new has come. Now, for those of you who are Christians, you will have to admit, especially if you've been a Christian for any length of time, that you kind of tattered that new creation a bit and have made your errors. And those errors have been sinful, and maybe you've even gone away from Christ for a while and were lost again. But if you've come back on His terms, you get to enjoy that freshness each day. One of the things I love about being a Christian is the fact that I've got just as much time left now as I had when I became a Christian, eternity. I don't have as many years left in this body. I turned 60 this year, and quite frankly, while I miss some of the things I used to could do, I'm really looking forward to the next stage. I want to enjoy this stage, don't get me wrong. I'd like another 60 years. And I've told you all before, I'd like to die coming down wrong from dunking a basketball at the age of about 100. I don't think that's going to happen. I might die from a bad dunk, but it will involve coffee and donut and choking. But you're a new creation. This milestone is an incredible milestone that you get to keep with you forever, if you will. But so many miss out on that. There are other milestones. For those who will never become a Christian, there is that last time that you nearly responded to the gospel's call. Whether it was at a worship service or just sometime during the week and you thought, I need to become a Christian, and yet the time passed. There'll be that last good time. It'll be a milestone you won't recognize at the moment because you'll think, well, I'll do it at another convenient time. But it'll pass. For those who are Christians who leave Christ, there will be a lot of milestones as well. And those milestones essentially are a slow hardening. And I believe every Christian has gone through this at certain times and to certain degrees. There'll be the last time, though, for those who are going to be lost, where they really sat down to read the Word of God to discover what He had for them. There'll be the last prayer that wasn't just a gimme, gimme, gimme prayer, but a prayer of joy and thanksgiving and appreciation and humility. There will be a last time that you were there on a Wednesday night for Bible class. There will be the last time you were there on a Sunday night for the worship. There will be a last month that you made all the Sunday morning worships. And there will be a last time where you went with your heart in it, whether you went after that or not. Those are milestones as well. And like the milestones of our physical life, where we'll look back and we wish we'd have taken better advantage of them, we'll want those back. On the final day, there really will be a judgment. On the final day, we really will hear, "Well done," or "Depart from me." If we hear, "Well done," all the mistakes we've had in our life, All the things that we'd left undone that we wished we could go back and take care of, they won't matter. The exhilaration of being with God forever and being able to serve Him forever will be a milestone that, quite frankly, is what we live for. But if you hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you," all those milestones, they'll torture you for eternity, will they not? "The last time I could have, the last time I should have, the last time I didn't." And the purpose of this lesson this morning is not to make you depressed if you are not in the proper relationship with God. The purpose is to make you want to change. Not because of something I have said, but because of an understanding that you have with the Scripture and with what God expects of you. It's a big club to have messed up and fallen away. We've all done it at one time or another. It's a foolish club to not do anything about it. And so the invitation is going to be open. And the question is, for those of you who are not yet Christians, do you know enough to become a Christian today? Do you believe in Christ? Are you sorry for your sins? Are you willing to put those behind you and stop sinning and go to live for God? Are you ready to make your confession that Jesus is Lord, that He is the Son of God? Are you ready to have your sins washed away? If so, when we offer the invitation in just a moment, this will be the time. If you're not sure, if you've not studied enough, if you really want to pour into the Scriptures and make sure, do that. You can do that with a personal study on your own, just going through the New Testament. If you'd like a study, I'd love to study with you. There's a lot here that could and would and would be delighted to do that. That's available too. You don't have to come forward for that. Just ask somebody or just be determined to begin. And if you've left Christ after becoming a Christian, well, that's something you can take care of right now in your own heart before God. But you got to do it. If you need the prayers of the congregation, that's another part of the invitation. We'd be honored to pray on your behalf if that's what you would like the church to be doing. But whatever your need is, whatever your circumstance is right now, the purpose is think soberly about where you are at and where you're going. And if changes need to be made, then make the change. Be determined to do that. And then do something about it. The invitation's open. If you're ready to do something about it right now, please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.